T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Ray, do you want to just insult Roger real quick while Jim's still on hold?
I think he's done a hell of a job. I think he's a great commissioner.
Dang it.
Because the one thing that they pay him to do
cha-ching
is help them make money. I mean, basically.
Yes, but again,
he has nothing to do with football.
Is he a Hall of Fame commissioner?
They'll vote him in. Absolutely, they will. I mean, they didn't vote Tagliabue
right
in, but this guy has managed to figure out new ways to shake money out of the tree.
I didn't actually want to talk more about Roger Goodell.
Well, don't ask then.
Sean Livingston. Albie has written this question down about Sean Livingston.
Of course he has.
And I think while it is a ridiculous question in my view, I understand why he wrote it down. Should Sean get his number retired?
Why not?
Well, I mean,
Did
you want me to actually answer that question?
No,
why not?
Well,
I will.
Okay, tell me why not.
Very few guys that I have watched and covered have I enjoyed more than Sean Livingston. So I'm fine with it. Here's why not. Because in 5 years as a Warrior, he averaged 5.4 points per game, 2 rebounds, 2.4 assists in 17 and a half minutes. That's why.
The answer is yes, he should have his number retired. Initially, my first reaction, my gut reaction was no. But when you think about it, you know, his career was backwards in that he started with the Clippers for 3 years and he wandered around Miami, OKC, Washington, Cleveland, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Brooklyn. And then 5 years, he found a home in Golden State. Not only was he crucial in them winning the 3 championships, but also, you know, what he represents, as we've been talking about here. When people look up at his retired number, someday if that ever happens, part of it will be he won those championships, but he was a lot more than that.
He's part of the core.
And he didn't let his injury define him.
No doubt, but that's not the Warriors. Like, that's a reason to be a fan of Sean Livingston. I'm not sure his overcoming a knee injury is the reason for the Warriors to retire his number.
Why do you
need
to separate them?
Because
I would be okay if that were part of the reason they retired the jersey.
Well, why do you retire a jersey? I think it's for what someone accomplished in your uniform. And I think if we were going to nail down when he sort of returned to prominence is the wrong word. It was the year before, though, in Brooklyn,
sure,
where everyone was like, whoa, Sean Livingston, look at that. He's 30 years old almost, and he's helping team.
So you think the Net should retire his jersey? I disagree with you, but it's an interesting argument.
This is not a basketball honorific, though. It's a new building with no history. And it is going to invoke the history of the last 5 years almost to the point where you're sick of it. And that's going to be one of the ways they do it. Because he was a useful instrument in the Warriors' 40 years of being a laughing stock ending. For the same reason they'll retire Iguodala's number. For the same reason they retired Durant's number.
Iguodala, though, was a sixth man of the year during that time. And Sean Livingston, again,
Iguodala was Finals MVP.
Yes,
he was, I
love Sean Livingston.
He was never as
principal a part as Andre Iguodala.
But I think it makes more sense to draw the line after him than before him.
All right, because I guess that's probably the question.
Your standards for getting your jersey retired is you got to be a primary contributor to a championship team, right? That's what it sounds like, or you have to be somebody who in one way or another was close to being the face of the franchise, at least for a period of time.
I think for a franchise to retire your jersey, you should be considered a great of that franchise. And I think I can see my way to arguing Andre Iguodala was a great of the Golden State Warriors over his time here, because not only did he win the Finals MVP, as you just said, and was he a sixth man of the year, he also truly signaled something when he made the decision to play here. Like, Andre Iguodala coming here from Denver was a kind of a watershed moment for the franchise. So all of that, to me, makes him a franchise great. Sean Livingston is a favorite, certainly a guy fans liked, a key cog in the wheel. But, I mean, okay, let's look at it this way. If you retire, is Kevon Looney's jersey already shoo-in for retirement?
No.
Because I would argue he contributed more to the last championship than Sean Livingston did.
Maybe but not the first one. Two.
Yeah, not all three.
I mean,
okay,
the cutoff is guys who were on all three teams and mattered. Livingston is the last of that list.
Did he matter on the third team?
I think he was useful. I mean, look, it was as clearly his worst year.
This pains me to be making an argument against Sean Livingston. That's why I keep talking about it. You seem like you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
Well,
I think you're secretly happy about this, Jerome Boger.
All right, 2017-18 playoffs. Let's just I'm pulling it up just for reference. Sean Livingston. Oops. That's last year.
His jersey should not be retired based on what he contributed in the playoffs this year. I think we can agree.
No, no. Well, this year, I'm talking about the actual title.
We're talking about the three championships because that's how they're going to define the era. They're not going to define it.
I know.
By
I'm talking
I'm,
about
I was
the championship.
Talking to Whitey because you aren't listening anymore.
2017-18 postseason. So not this past season, the previous season. 17 minutes a game, 6.7 points. 2.2 rebounds, 1.5. Actually,
what did he shoot? What's his field goal percentage?
It was 53.
Yeah.
It was better. He was better in that playoffs than I remembered. So credit to him.
Yeah, I mean, look, and you can retire jerseys for any reason.
Of course. Many teams retire jerseys just to get people to come out and buy tickets. I don't
Sacramento
think the Warriors have to resort to that.
Retired a jersey for the fans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're not the only ones who have done it.
But I don't think that's what we're talking about.
No.
Of course
well, no,
you
but
can
I mean, the point is,
retire
if
his
you,
jersey.
If you can set any definition, I think one of the things the Warriors are going to want to sell in this new building is the glory days and all the ways that they represented glory. And one of the ways they represented glory was with Sean Livingston as not only a helpful player, but as one of the adults in the room that helped basically everything work better and all the gears run more smoothly. And I think it's more of a statement about the way the Warriors won than the numbers he contributed to their winning. And I think in that way, it makes far less sense to exclude him than it does to include him.
I agree with you.
Let's talk Leandro Barbosa.
I don't, but I really like Sean Livingston, so God bless. Retire his number. If people want it, I'm all for it. Absolutely. It's a football Friday, though.
Okay, now that you agree, I'm changing my mind.
Fascinating. This is fun to watch.
It's a football Friday.
This is not really fun to watch at all.
It's a football Friday brought to you by Xfinity. And we are going to be talking football. Specifically, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to be talking football with Tom Brenneman, who is on the call on Sunday, bright and early, 10 a.m. kick for your San Francisco 49ers in Cincinnati, which also happens to be the hometown of one Tom Brenneman. I'm sure Ray will also ask him a strange and obnoxious question about his father. So this should be a lot of fun. Tom Brenneman joins us coming up in just about 8 minutes, we'll call it. Right now, Elena Matsorkas joins us. Which really is better if you think about it.
Hey, thanks. What's happening? What's happening on the game brought to you by California Bank and Trust. Sean Livingston announced his retirement today after 15 seasons and three championships with the Warriors. Warriors president and COO Rick Welts on with Ponte, Steiny, and Guru.
It is one of the great comeback stories in sports. We all read his post this morning, and you can feel the pride that he has about his journey. Being that guy who went from the most horrific injury you could ever have in sports to come back and be an NBA champion.
Listen to the full interview on demand at 957thegame.com or by downloading the radio.com app to your smartphone or smart speakers. The Niners are getting set to take on the Bengals in Cincinnati on Sunday. The man behind the mic for the 49ers-Bengals game is Tom Brenneman, and he joins the and he previews the matchup next. Sponsored by California Bank and Trust, California Bank and Trust Electronic Solutions will help you accelerate collections and cash flow. Create, track, and manage invoices and payments faster and easier than ever. Visit calbanktrust.com today. I'm Elena Mazorkas on the Bay Area's number one sports station, 95.7 The Game.
Now back to the Damon Bruce Show on 95.7 The Game.
We are back on the Damon Bruce Show. Matt Kolsky, Ray Ratto, we're usually here. Damon is not here today. Whitey Gleason sitting in for him.
And thank you. Thanks for having me.
We're thrilled to have you.
Thanks for being had.
As a matter of fact, that, you know.
No more Jerome Boga references and we're good.
Listen, Whitey.
No.
I try to keep it on the low end of creepy, but you see what I'm working with.
You introduced the subject.
And over
the next 2 hours and 35 minutes, we're going to relive that moment so that you drive home in shame.
I believe I have some inside information on our next guest. I think yesterday was his birthday.
Oh, wow.
I believe so.
So I'm just going to go off that information. Whitey's a professional. I'm assuming he's on top of it. We now welcome, via the dial pad guest line, Tom Brenneman. He'll have the call Sunday in Cincinnati on Fox. And Tom, happy 33rd birthday, man. Congratulations.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's almost 33 times two. I'm not quite in Ratto's range yet, but I'm knocking on the door.
Oh!
No, listen. You may one day be as old as Ray is today, but you will never be in his range. You are far better.
I told my wife before I did the show, I said, one of my all-time favorite guys, is Ray Ratto. I used to love seeing him every time we came into San Francisco for years and years, so I was fired up I was on with you guys today.
You're awesome. Only making this worse for yourself.
See, the best part, Tom, about you complimenting Ratto is how much he is made uncomfortable by that. Let's start, because you, of course, are a Cincinnati guy.
Yep.
This Cincinnati Bengals team came into the year missing, I think, pretty clearly their best offensive player, who is, of course, A.J. Green, a wide receiver. And I know they lost the running back in game one, too, but I sure didn't expect to see a pass attempt total in the 50s for Andy Dalton. Do you think we should get used to high pass totals with the Zach Taylor offense?
You know, we met with him today, and it was the first time I'd ever met him. And I've heard a lot of things about him from people outside the Cincinnati organization. We did the Vikings last week, and my partner is Chris Spielman. His brother, Rick Spielman, is a general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, as you guys probably know. And, you know, we got to talking about Taylor, and Rick was saying, you know, he really thinks this guy's got a chance if he can get some talent and some players in here to be a really, really good coach. So I was excited to meet the guy today. He's only 36 years old. And, you know, to answer your question directly, I've never heard coaches, and it's not to say that he's the first guy that does this because he was under Sean McVay there with the Rams and all that kind of thing. So I'm sure they were doing it. But I've never been in a meeting with a coach, a head coach, who said, depending on what the defense is doing when they break the huddle and walk to the line of scrimmage, they call as many as three plays, most of the time two plays in the huddle. And then when they get up to the line of scrimmage, depending on what the defense is, rather than checking out of things and audible and all those kinds of things, it's just a quick signal, whatever it is, and then they're running play number one or play number two. I was fascinated by it. And so to answer your question in a long-winded way, I think whatever the 49ers present to them on defense, if they're going to throw it 50 times, they'll throw it 50 times. If they've got to run it 40 times, they'll run it 40 times. It's a really interesting guy to talk to.
Tom, 8 years ago, since he hosted the 49ers before, at the time, their smallest home opening crowd in 30 years. It was 13-8. What's the atmosphere going to be like this week in Cincinnati?
You know, good question. You know, it's an incredible football town from the high school level to the collegiate level to the pro level for a long, long time. But, you know, the franchise really fell out of favor, a lot like in San Francisco, to be honest with you. Really fell out of favor with some down years. And ironically enough, I'm not so sure they didn't fall out of favor even in some really good years. They had a stretch until 2 years ago where they went to the playoffs six out of seven times, including five in a row. But they kept the same head coach and the same quarterback who have never won a playoff game, either one of them. and went to the playoffs. Dalton's been there six times, and Marvin's been there eight or nine times, and never won a playoff game. And they kept bringing him back and bringing him back, and I think it really turned a lot of people off. So they, you know, it was a pretty significant shift for an extremely conservative organization to finally make that move. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what the reception's like as far as fannies in the seats on Sunday.
Toward that end, Mike Brown has always been the guy who wanted to save today's nickel as opposed to reaping tomorrow's quarter.
Yep.
Is there a point at which he's come to the realization that he can no longer do that, or is it going to take ownership change for the Bengals to sort of recognize the true cost of doing business?
Well, you know, Ray, it's an interesting situation with the Bengals in terms of how they spend their money. I don't think there's any denying the Bengals spend money. Now, they don't spend it on practice facilities. You know, we were in Minnesota last week, which if there's a better setup, I haven't been to the new one in Dallas yet, but if there's a better setup for an organization, I mean, if you're trying to recruit a free agent to come play for your franchise, I mean, sign me up for Minnesota. Brand new practice facility, couple $100 million, brand new stadium. I mean, it's insane. Now, the Bengals, they're one of two teams in the NFL that don't have an indoor practice facility. They don't have a bubble. It's right in the stadium, kind of like the 49ers do. They re-sign their own players. So when they get good players here, whether it's A.J. Green, whether it's Geno Atkins, whether it's Carlos Dunlap, whether it's Andy Dalton, right on down the line, Tyler Boyd, young upcoming receiver, they pay their players. In fact, they paid more for their own players this winter than their entire organization, than the other three teams in their division spent on players combined. So, you know, they go about it in a different way. You know, you can be critical of them, they won a Super Bowl, but this year there are 53 players on NFL rosters, the most in the NFL. The most in the NFL of any organization in football. So they don't go out and spend money on free agents. Could they have, should they have through the years? I'm sure a lot of fans around here would probably tell you they should have, but they.
One of the guys, and Tom Brenneman, our guest, will be on the call Sunday for Niners and Bengals on Fox. One of the guys they've spent money on to hold on to is Geno Atkins. And
yep.
I can't think of a lot of defensive tackles who have been doing it at that level for as long as he has. And he, once again, is at the head of a talented group. I believe I saw 9 quarterback hits against Russell Wilson last week.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we asked our new defensive coordinator about Atkins today, and he said, I don't know what he is, 30, 31. He said he's running around like he's a 25-year-old. You know, he doesn't say anything and hasn't since the day he arrived in Cincinnati. He's just not a real outgoing guy. He's just a grinder, show up at work and do your job every single day and play every single snap. He has been a great player for a long time. You guys know how it goes, you know. You can have, you know, take a guy like Staley. I mean, outside of those couple of years of Harbaugh there, he was on a lot of bad teams, but a great player. And, you know, that unfortunately, a lot of guys get swallowed up in that kind of thing that don't get recognized for. And it's not to say Atkins hasn't been. He's been to 7 or 8 Pro Bowls. But he and Carlos Dunlap have been two great players in this league for a long, long time and still playing at a very high level. And you know, I think these are two of the better defensive front teams in the NFL with the 49ers. Younger players, and the veterans for the Bengals.
Well, how about that, Tom Brenneman? How far along on the arc of returning to respectability are the 49ers in your estimation right now?
You know, guys, you guys know more about this team than I do. I mean, I can get ready for a game in week 2 of the season, but you watch every play and talk to fans and talk to players and talk to coaches all the time, and you watch. I just don't know about Garoppolo. And really, that's what it's going to come down to. And for anybody to say definitively one way or another, I know Jimmy Garoppolo is this and I know he's not that, I would just think it's way too early in the game to be able to say that. I mean, would any of us have given him that contract? Well, maybe the 49ers did what they had to do or felt like they had to do it. But, you know, the bottom line is that as a starter, and I'm one of those guys, and maybe you guys are the same way, Ray, I think you are, from conversations we've had many times in the past. At the end of the day, you can talk about all the stats you want to talk about, but do you win the game? And Garoppolo has started 11 times in the NFL. in his career. He's not even played a full season yet, not even three quarters of a season yet, and he's 9-2. So, you know, I can look at the way he played last week, and there are a lot of guys that have forgotten more football than I'll ever know. I thought he looked awful. I mean, just thought he looked awful. But I've also seen him play really, really well in a couple of other games that we've done with him. So I think with any team, you're only as good. There are other areas you have to be good in, obviously. But nobody's going to win and be on the upswing to be a consistently good team if you don't have a good quarterback, period, end.
How does your father feel about Garoppolo? And two, how cratchety a retiree is he going to be?
Well, you know, probably got to ask my wife that, because she's the one who's got to deal with him a heck of a lot more than I do. She said to me this morning, and she's spot on. They played in Seattle last night, and Jeff Brantley, you know, your old buddy back there in San Francisco. I'm up with my kids getting them ready for school this morning, and get a text on my phone that says, "Don't know if you're awake," and it's sent to 10 people now, that all of us are kind of on the Reds beat together. It's sent to 10 people. It says, "Don't know if you're awake yet, honey, but I'm getting my bags at the Biltmore in Phoenix. I love you, baby." And so naturally, everybody on the whole thing realizes he's made a mistake who he sent this text to. But the point is that it's 3:15 Arizona time, and my dad is just landing in Phoenix last night. And my wife says to me, "Well, if he was debating retirement, he's running for the retirement ceremony after getting in at 3:15 in the morning Pacific time last night."
Yeah, because knowing the Biltmore, their bar does not stay open 24 hours.
You're right about that.
Tom Brenneman, our guest, quickly before we let you go, since you mentioned you were on the call for Vikings-Falcons last week, that game was one of the more interesting results of week one to me, just how good Dalvin Cook looked and how bad the Falcons looked. And just your quick impressions from that, and if anything else from week one jumped out to you in terms of surprising results.
Well, you know, I mean, there are a lot of things I think that surprise you. It doesn't surprise me that Minnesota looked good. After meeting with Mike Zimmer, who is certainly, you know, people can judge what kind of coach they think he is. He is one of my favorite people I've ever been around in sports. He just tell it like it is and no nonsense. And he's an old school football guy. And he said, "Look, I got tired of us throwing the ball 35, 40 times a game last year." He's gone through his third offensive coordinator, and they finally think of Gary Kubiak coming in there. They're going to run the ball a ton, and I'm not surprised. Cook's a heck of a back, and if he's healthy, he is going to have a great year. Their defense is rock solid. You know, some other surprises. I mean, I don't know if I'm surprised by the Browns. Are you guys surprised by the Browns?
Nope.
More surprised by the Titans, frankly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but there's another team. I mean, you know, an old school, old Buckeye, Vrabel. You know, walks in there, makes those guys believe that they can beat anybody at any time. And, you know, they were right there in the hunt for the playoffs last year. And, but, you know, Dallas looked good. You know, Elliott's back. I think this 49er-Bengal game, though, is a very interesting game this weekend. I think it's one of those where you can make an argument that either team could win the game. And I think it's got a chance to be a really good game.
Tom, forgive me. I got kind of a silly question, but I'm dying to ask. I look at your resume. You've had so many broadcast partners over the years doing baseball and local baseball and national football. So let's say you're sailing down the Amazon. It's dangerous. There's crocodiles. There's hostile tribes. There's anaconda. You can only have one of your all-time broadcast booth partners with you as you make this dangerous journey. Who's it going to be?
Well, if you're talking about that kind of thing, it's the partner I have right now.
Yeah, Spielman will protect you.
I mean, are you kidding me? And maybe in the old days, before he started breaking down, Bob Brenly would have been that guy. But, you know, like the rest of us to break down and get tired and old. Not reminded of that all the time. But, yeah, Spielman for sure. I mean, he looks like he should still be playing linebacker in the NFL. Great guy. Does an awesome job on the air. And I just thank the world of him. I admire him as a human being and everything he's been through as much as anybody I've ever met in my life.
Good call.
And conversely, which of your broadcast partners would you throw into the river to use as a human shield?
I should have told
so
him
you
couldn't
escape.
Ask the question. I apologize, Tom.
You really think, Ray, I'm answering that question?
He doesn't.
No, I don't care.
He does not
I just
believe
wanted
you're
you to
the
hear
question.
It. just and feel awkward.
Needs to give every single guest a hard time on the way out. Tom, thank you so much for enduring us and Ray for as long as you did, and we look forward to hearing you on Sunday.
I look forward to it, guys. Thanks for having me. Hopefully I'll get a chance to catch up with you in person out there sometime this season.
And excellent. Tell your dad you. We're still ashamed of him.
I will definitely tell him. I'll remind him of that regularly.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom. Tom Brenneman. Don't miss him on the call. Sunday, 10 a.m., Fox. Alongside
Chris Spielman.
Amazon River defender, yeah. Chris Spielman. Yeah, I saw that one coming because you look at that guy in the booth, and he fills the booth.
He's not taking any nonsense from Anaconda or Crocodile or Hostile Tribes.
No, I'm so Hostile Tribes.
Yeah.
Okay. See, when you were asking the question, I was going to come back to this because I thought you gave us a specific tribe.
Oh,
like,
no,
I thought
no,
you
no.
knew the tribes of the Amazon, and I was going to come back to you for that.
I can get that for you if you want. But
No, I was just impressed.
Maybe on the podcast.
I don't think I need that information. I just, if you had it, I was going to be impressed. So, I have an interesting question that the text line sent during that interview. And I think I know the answer, but let's just play it out. I'm going to dig into this a little bit. The question, as written by the texter, is, do you think the Niners would give the same contract to Jimmy G today? And let me preface the asking you guys of this question with the answer to that question is no, of course they wouldn't. Because they don't have to. If they had to, let me create the false situation that right now, today, the Niners could either give Jimmy Garoppolo the contract he currently has or start Nick Mullins on Sunday. Which one do you think they'd do?
Oh, they'd give Garoppolo a contract because the contract, A, is relatively friendly. And if you believe that you haven't seen enough to make a massive decision, but you still believe in him, this is the going rate for quarterbacks.
So you think they still believe in him, though?
Well, I do. I also think that they would not spend the same money on Nick Mullins as a starting quarterback.
No. I'm saying you keep Nick Mullins at the price he's at. I'm not saying you have to pay Nick Mullins.
My point is, the question implies that they would be dissatisfied with Garoppolo. And if you're dissatisfied with your quarterback, it's insane to keep him.
Well,
So basically what you're talking about is either making Nick Mullins your quarterback and paying him that same money, because that's what starting quarterbacks get, or going out and finding some sort of rogue Ryan Fitzpatrick somewhere and sucking at the position for three more years.
There's only one Fitzmagic.
It would be admitting that you don't have the position solved. The question is essentially, would you rather be in the situation you're in with Garoppolo or be starting over?
Didn't John Lynch make it clear yesterday on this very station that Jimmy Garoppolo is his guy? I think it's a crucial week, and I know that's kind of cliche, everyone saying that, but last week, Jimmy G missed some throws downfield. The numbers were not great, but more importantly, he missed throws downfield. Kyle Shanahan's offense is designed to set guys up so you got receivers wide open based on what you've established with the play action, but you got to hit those throws. You don't have to throw for 350 yards, but when he's got the shots downfield, he's got to convert them, and he didn't last week. He appears to have lost his confidence a little bit. Maybe it has to do with recovery from the knee surgery. But if he doesn't start hitting those, then you have a serious problem. So this is a crucial game.
What was that you said? John Lynch was on our station?
Those are other people's opinions. I can tell you we do think really highly of Nick Mullins. We think very highly of C.J. Beathard as well. But we've got a lot of belief in Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy's our quarterback. And wasn't perfect the other day, no. But he brings a lot to the table. And our team has a lot of belief in him. And we certainly do. And we're working hard to try to go out there and be cleaner as a team. And Jimmy is as well. But he is our quarterback right now. And we're very happy that that's the case.
What do you know? He sure was. Whitey Gleason, by the way, in for Damon Bruce today. Ray Ratto here as well. I'm Matt Kolsky. We're talking Niners, and we're going to Fillmore Mike right now on the phone lines. If you want to weigh in, 888-957-9570. We'll talk a little bit more about this football game coming up in about 20 minutes or so when Cincinnati Bengals voice Dave Lapham joins us. But now, Fillmore Mike in San Francisco. What's up, man?
Hey, man. I love you guys' calculated conversation. It's like Guru and them is like dessert, and then you guys come with some real dinner
some real calculated conversation. But anyway, I had a question for y'all in regards to the Niners and Patrick Willis and Justin Smith. My question is, and I know Ray gonna school us all, but like in correlation to their careers, how did Patrick Willis help Justin Smith if they did help each other, and how did Justin Smith help Patrick Willis?
All right, we're going to take a brief show detour into Fillmore Mike's question, which I think pertains ultimately to the Hall of Fame. The interaction between Justin Smith and Patrick Willis as football players. Ray Ratto, go.
This is only because of the relative positions they play. Since the point of attack went through Smith to get to Willis, I think it's logical to say that Smith had a greater impact on Willis than Willis did on Smith. And that has nothing to do with who is better or who's a more qualified Hall of Fame candidate. But Justin Smith occupying two blockers on nearly every play made Patrick Willis's job and the job of the other defensive linemen and the other linebackers that much easier. That said, Patrick Willis would have been, I believe, a very good linebacker if you only had a replacement-level defensive tackle, someone who could occupy one guy fairly consistently.
Do you think perhaps the length of his career would preclude him from serious Hall of Fame consideration?
I think his chances this year are better than they will be in subsequent years, only because there's more players. Unless the electorate, the 48 people in the room, do such a good job of clearing up the backlog of qualified candidates that he can go to the front of the line that much faster. I think the difficulty is that they did this in part because it's an optic for the 100th year of the NFL, but also because there are a lot of guys who've had to wait way longer than you would think they should have had to. And I always bring the example of Bob Brown, who was the definitive defensive tackle of the 60s and 70s, who had to wait 26 years. To get in, should have taken him about three.
As soon as you start bringing up tackles of the 60s and 70s, we have to switch back to current football. Jimmy Garoppolo has had a lot of words spent on him, and we don't have a lot of data. We have more this week than we did a week ago, but what we do have heading into this week is, I think, a lot of things to consider. First of all, we heard John Lynch. It sounded like a vote of confidence, and yet not just one person on the text line said, well, I don't know, that didn't sound quite as confident to me.
Last week, Jimmy G didn't know where the ball was going, and that's a problem for your quarterback.
That's an understatement, ladies and gentlemen. Knowing where the ball is going is one of the most important parts of being a National Football League cornerback. Throwing the ball accurately, this is important. But there's his last week performance, there's the performances before that allowed us to set expectations beforehand. There are a handful of mitigating factors, and then there's, what are your other options? And we're going to get into all of it coming up. You want to weigh in on Jimmy Garoppolo? 888-957-9570 is the phone number. My question for you is this. Is there a D-Day for you at which point, if Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing better than we've seen, and by we've seen, I mean this last game, it's time to stop? Is there a D-Day? If we don't see better by game six, I'm ready for Nick Mullins. What's that D-Day for you? Let's call it G-Day. What's your G-Day? What's your Jimmy G-Day? 888-957-9570, the phone number. 95795 if you want to hit up the text line. We are brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking, no compromises.
Now, back to the Damon Blue Show on 95.7 The Game.
I just don't know about Garoppolo. And really, that's what it's going to come down to. And for anybody to say definitively one way or another, say, I know Jimmy Garoppolo is this and I know he's not that, I would just think it's way too early in the game to be able to say that.
Jimmy Garoppolo. The problem, we just don't know. I mean, that continues to be the fundamental issue of the Jimmy Garoppolo situation. Is we all have our theories by now. We've talked about it enough. We've watched the 11 games we do have enough. We all have thoughts. Nobody knows. And that's why we keep talking about it, because the guy continues to tantalize us sometimes and drive us nuts at others, and mostly we get nothing, so we don't know what to think.
The interception, the pick six that he threw last week, was absolutely alarming.
And
dreadful.
Dreadful. As bad as the two Jameis Winston threw. And I would argue that his throw behind Marquise Goodwin and his throw 3 feet over the head of Kendrick Bourne,
those are the ones he's got to hit.
Those are just as disturbing. They're not as poor throws, but they're just as disturbing because they should be easy completions.
Yeah. The offense is set up where, okay, there you go. There it is. Ugh, everything falls apart if you can't make those throws.
That's what we know Kyle Shanahan can do, is give you the opportunity to make easy throws. If you can't make those easy throws accurately, I think you know where we end up.
I'm staggered by the lack of patience. I mean, they signed a contract that everybody thought was a great idea that was going to last for 3 years. We've now seen 3 games of the first year, 1 game of the second.
And a catastrophic injury.
Well, yeah, but why does it make sense to start thinking about the end game for this guy based on 4 games? I don't get that. I mean, you're either committed to this or you're going to start over again. Because it's not just getting rid of Jimmy Garoppolo on the theory that you can replace him with somebody better, because it's hard to find guys who are better. All right? You're going to go back into the draft, and the best quarterbacks in a quarterback poor draft will already be gone. I mean, do you want to start looking at Drew Locke, the 2020 equivalent of Drew Locke? I mean, I think it's insane to start going, gee, when do you pull the plug on him? You pull the plug on him at the end of next year, unless he gets hurt so badly that you have to change before.
End of this year, you mean?
End of the...
this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I just... you know, what's the hurry?
I don't, you know...
You think that he ought to be magic. He's not, but he's only played 4 games in a year and change. Why do you think he was going to hit the ground running in game one? It's nuts to me.
I don't, but I do think it's fair to ask the question, because that's how quickly things happen in the NFL. And it may not be fair, it may not be the best way to evaluate a guy, but you do run out of road pretty quickly. And even if you're healthy, there's only 16 games a year. So is Ray right? Yeah. Yes. Ideally, you have patience. I'm not sure that's the world we live in, though. Let's go to Kevin in San Francisco. Do you have a point at which Jimmy Garoppolo better start showing you the goods that earned him his contract, or you're going to be ready to move on? Or are you like Ray where, look, you got to give him the whole year because he's all you've got?
Hey, guys, I love the show, first and foremost. Check it out. Here's the thing. Jimmy is our guy. Guys, like, we've got to be patient. An ACL injury is not easy to come back from, right? Here's the other thing, right? I can see where you guys are coming from, especially because we got to put pressure on this guy. We did give him some money. He does play on one of the best franchises in the NFL. Excuse me, the best franchise in the NFL. So we do got to put some pressure, right? And I think John said the right things when you guys interviewed him, or when he was on 95.7. He said he's full of confidence of Jimmy, right? And he's our man right now. And that's what it is, right? It is what it is. I don't have a date where we pull the plug, but I'll tell you what. If our defense keeps performing the way it is and our quarterback isn't, we might have to make a change, because that could well get us into the playoffs.
Yeah.
That's all I have, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. And if you're curious, what was Kevin referring to when he said John Lynch talking about Garoppolo on 95.7 The Game? Here you go.
Those are other people's opinions. I can tell you we do think really highly of Nick Mullins. We think very highly of C.J. Beathard as well. But we've got a lot of belief in Jimmy Garoppolo. And Jimmy's our quarterback. And was it perfect the other day? No. But he brings a lot to the table. And our team has a lot of belief in him. And we certainly do. And we're working hard to try to go out there and be cleaner as a team. And Jimmy is as well. But he is our quarterback right now. And we're very happy that that's the case.
Two things. First of all, here's a text from the first time we played that sound today. He's our QB right now? didn't sound committed to me. Did you guys read that into it at all? The way he said right now at the end that there was a little bit of a just for now to it? Because what I heard was he's the only guy on the roster that we think can be a franchise quarterback.
I didn't read anything into it. Besides, it's all that matters is what's
sure.
the deal now right
now.
He's our quarterback
that's
right now. That's all that matters.
Fair enough. Here, he said he's got a lot of support within the team. Here's the tight end.
You know, Jimmy's the reason we're going to win any games that we win. If he's playing good, the whole offense is going to play good. So that's all it is. And you know, Jimmy's the leader of this team. And with, you know, when he's playing well, I think we're going to do really well. You know, especially, you know, that last drive, we connected on a couple passes, get a first down. And you know, that's just fun. And it's good football.
Ray, I got a question for you. Seriously, what was your evaluation of Jimmy Garoppolo, the game that he had against Tampa Bay?
He wasn't great, but I don't expect him to be a great quarterback. I think there are flaws in him that are inherent in that he's not an incredibly accurate passer. He does throw into coverages a bit. He does have more confidence in his arm than sometimes he should. But I also view him as a guy who hasn't played enough. And unless you decide that he's stupid, I think he will solve a lot of those problems. If you put people around him that will allow him to solve those problems, that means making sure he's upright, making sure he can see his receivers, and making sure his receivers are worth a damn. Because right now, other than George Kittle, it's a coin flip on all of them, whether they're going to catch a ball thrown at him or not. I don't, you know, they have established nothing in terms of their wide receiver core that makes me think that they're going to help Jimmy Garoppolo be as good as I think he can be.
That, of course, is Ray Ratto. I'm Matt Kolsky. Whitey Gleason in for Damon Bruce today, and we're talking Jimmy Garoppolo. And specifically, do you have a G-Day in your mind? I apologize for the silliness of the verbiage, but is there a D-Day at which point you feel like, if I keep seeing the Jimmy I saw against Tampa Bay, because I'm with you, Whitey, that the guy I watched isn't good. He's fine, but he's not the guy they're talking about in those sound bites we just played, and he's not the guy who, if the defense isn't great, is going to help you win a game. He might avoid losing it if the defense is great. But that, frankly, if we keep seeing the guy we saw last Sunday, then I do think I'd rather start over than continue to pay him at the rate he's currently paid. That's where I would stand. So I wonder if there's a point in this season for Niner fans where if we get to week 7 and I've seen 6 weeks of Tampa Bay Jimmy, I'm ready to see a couple weeks of Nick Mullins. Let's go to Jeff in San Francisco. What do you got, Jeff?
I just think it's too soon to bury Jimmy Garoppolo. I think a couple things. I think, yes, he didn't have a very good game. The pick was terrible. But look at that pass, the touchdown pass to Richie James. That was a perfectly thrown ball.
Yep.
In stride, over the shoulder.
It was beautiful. There's no question, yeah. Jeff.
And now on the, I also think, look, he was thrown behind receivers. He was thrown over receivers. I don't think he's really got his timing down yet. But there was another little play that he did that I think is indicative of how good he can be. He had a pretty strong pass rush coming in at him from his right side. He didn't panic. He felt the pressure. He took literally like one step to his left, avoided the pressure, kept his eyes down the field, and completed a pass. And I also think we need to remember, you know what, there was like 2 touchdown passes that were called back out of the 3 that were eventually nullified because of penalties. You know, if those aren't nullified by penalties, he has, what, 1 or maybe 2 more, at least 1 touchdown pass.
There were 2 Kittle touchdowns called back on penalties.
It seemed like there were 14 or 15.
And there were a couple other plays as well. I mean, this was an oft-penalized team. The league was oft-penalized.
Yes.
In week 1. But, and again, I'm not trying to bury Jimmy G, and thanks for the call, Jeff. I'm just trying to ask the question because I think you do have to ask these questions on a short timeline.
The more they win, the more patience they could have with them.
Well, and that is the text I got when I was going through the thought again of, well, you know, what if we get 6 more weeks of Tampa Bay Jimmy? Someone texted in, you mean 6 weeks of wins?
Yeah.
And you know what? You're right. If it's 6 weeks of wins, there's going to be no consideration of changing the quarterback position whatsoever. So, look, as long as they keep putting W's up, I think everybody will be happy. The team they're going to be attempting to put up a W against this weekend is the Cincinnati Bengals. The voice of the Cincinnati Bengals is Dave Lapham. He will join us in a matter of moments, but first, we must officially enter the 4 o'clock hour.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.